Don Green on the phone. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing today?
We're doing great, man. The Mobile Tensile Delta is where we're talking about with Don here. And so is the water rising, Don?
Well, we got a little bit of a rise on the Tom Bigby, but it's just going to rise a couple of feet through Sunday to 8 feet, and it's going to drop on back down to 6 feet if we don't get that storm through here. Hmm. And Claiborne, it's going to drop a little bit. It's going to drop down to 17 feet over the weekend, so we'll have the tides in the Mobile River will just be a tide. It'll go up about 3.5 feet. It'll go up about 4.25, and then on low tide, it'll drop down to about 2.25. Whenever you have that mean tide like that, fishing should be great on the lower delta and the middle delta.
Good. You know, we've got a full moon coming Tuesday.
Right. Tuesday night, well, really Tuesday morning, I think, about 9 a.m. As far as that goes, I'm worried about our mayfly hatch. I call them willow flies. Most people call them mayfly. We should have a good hatch, and it's going to be right when that storm's coming through. So,
yeah,
that's bad.
Yeah.
That's a good time to go.
Yeah, the storm, you know, inclement weather, as our charts say in the magazine, can affect the moon time, you know, the fishing forecast in the magazine. So maybe the storm will pass through and we can get some good fishing in around the full moon. We'll see.
Well, we're getting good reports from all over the Delta. I talked to Randy this morning. He said the brim are just on fire over there. He said they're catching all kind of limits of big bull. And crop is doing pretty good, not real good. Not catching many big slab right now.
Yeah. I went to Smith Lake the other day, Don.
Yeah.
A morning trip with a friend, and we caught some nice bull brim up there on crickets. But the water is rising a little bit there, and it was kind of muddy.
Yeah. Now you got to remember this. This time of the year, after we've had floods and continuously, you'll see that the main rivers, you can get out in the main rivers, and they'll be a lot clearer than the creeks and bayous and things off of the main rivers. They get muddied up, and then they don't clear up as fast. It takes rainwater to clear them up.
I got you. Well, that's the case at Smith Lake. That's a kind of out-of-the-way place to go, and I don't go there very often, and I don't really know how to fish it, but we found some fish and had a good time.
Well, that's a great place to fish this time of the year.
Yeah, it is. Well, looks like we're going to be able to fish, you know, Saturday maybe before the storm hits. We'll see.
We got, if I'm not mistaken, we got a nip tide like Friday and Saturday, haven't we? I hadn't even got my book yet.
Yeah, Friday is a nip tide.
Yeah, Friday, and I think Saturday is too. If that's the case, that'll be a little bit less than normal as far as water movement. It'll be a slight movement, and that will slow the fish some, you know, as far as the way they bite. But they'll still bite. I call them mealy-mouth during these times. They'll bite, but they just don't have that really, really hard hitting going on. You know, it's just slight bites. Mm-hmm. But you'll still catch fish. So just remember, when you're fishing, take your time. Don't get in a hurry trying to hook him, because he just taking long to take the bait.
Don, if we do get this storm to come through and we get a substantial amount of rain, how will that affect the fishing afterwards, especially when we're talking about these bed and brim like we were talking about last weekend?
Okay,
last week.
Now it'll push the brim off, because the water, the whole delta, when we have a storm like this come in, your water's not coming from the north to begin with. It's coming from the south. And it'll fill up that delta, and it'll brackish up the water some, and it'll, in other words, it'll push north all the way up, way on up into the river system. And those fish will get out in deep water and hold. They'll just quit their bedding. And it's a full moon, you know, this weekend. It should be a bedding time. And all that bedding will probably not occur. If the female can't hold eggs, they'll just drop the eggs wherever they're at. Mm-hmm. And we'll miss that phase of the spawn. Mm-hmm. as far as fishing goes, the best time to bass fish of the year is the day after this storm comes through. Just as soon as that wind settles a little bit, go out and hit those bays in the lower delta that you can't normally get in to fish because of grass and water. You can have a field there, and you'll realize that there's a lot more big bass in that lower delta than most people give credit for. I say that. I have, some of my favorite times have been the really right. Sometimes when a low pressure system comes through, there's no lightning in them, and there's not much wind, and you can just have a ball out there on that delta then.
Also, a rising water from the rain may affect the catfishing.
Catfish will go in the woods just like a brim and bass will. Mm-hmm. That's why it's such good fishing right after that water starts dropping back out. Mm-hmm. It usually takes a day or two after a good-sized storm comes through for that water to start going back out.
Yeah.
And when it does, you be on the upper end of these bays and areas like that. A good example is the north end of the lakes up there in the mid-delta. That's good. Mm. Lower delta, north end of your bays, and any place there's a big flat or anything that is usually too shallow, it's going to be dynamite.
Mm. Well, that's something to look forward to. I appreciate the report, buddy.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Don.
Okay, bye-bye.
Let's talk to Mike Thompson about the Upper Mobile Bay area. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, Alan and Joe.
Well, we're looking for redfish and speckled trout, flounder. What we got this week?
We got it all, the redfish mainly. Gosh, the redfish are just, they're biting everywhere. They're biting on all the reefs on the eastern shore, from down south all the way up to the Daphne pilings. There's even some redfish that are biting on the Buddy Beiser Reef, and also some nice specks up there, but mainly redfish just dominating that side and really dominating a lot of the fishing places that you hit for salt water right now. Now, there are still plenty of places, you know, pre-storm that you can get some fish if you don't, you know, get blown off the water by high winds. Middle Bay Light's been holding a lot of redfish and speckled trout, some good white trout. Gilliard Island is holding a lot of specks and some nice flounder. And, I mean, but, you know, these are places that aren't secret. I was on a trip with Bobby McElroy Saturday, and he had done real well on Wednesday. And I said, well, Bobby, you got to remember, Saturday ain't Wednesday. So he said, well, we'll just go early. Well, we went at dark 30, and it was completely dark, and we got to the spot we wanted to fish, and there was five boats sitting there. So, you know, I don't know. I guess maybe you just have to camp out, especially on a tournament weekend. Another thing good that's been happening is a lot of white trout have moved into Theodore Canal. They're not much size to them, but, you know, you could sit down on them and catch 30 or 40 of them with no problem. The best bait has been cut mullet. If you don't have that, you can use some fresh dead shrimp. But cut mullet's really what those white trout go crazy over.
I love to use cut mullet on my catfish lines when I can get it.
Well, I mean, you know, mullet's kind of a lowly fish, but not to other fish. It's a desired species.
Yeah, it is. Well, how's the shrimp supply?
They're starting to show up more and more. Talked to Larry Scott this week. There's more and more shrimp showing up, and they're going to have plenty of shrimp, and most every outlet along the causeway and down at Jerob River should have shrimp this weekend if we can get the weather to hold off.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks a lot. You be careful this weekend.
Okay, guys.
Bobby Abiscato is on the phone right now with our inshore report. How you doing, Bobby?
Good afternoon, guys. How are you guys?
We're doing good, man. How's the fishing?
It's been great. I'll tell you, I'm just discouraged that we got this storm coming in. I think, you know, it's obviously going to kind of have to take us off the water for at least a couple days. But, you know, hopefully we'll get out of here quick enough that we'll be right back at it, because you know what happens next week, don't you? That's the full moon in May, baby. That's the magic period right there. And this year, if you kept up with it the way it fell, we actually got two full moons in May. It's like having two Christmases in December, you know?
You know, a little birdie told me that I should book a trip with you, Bobby, like next Tuesday. Just so happens I'm taking Hank Shaw out there with you, so we're going to give that a shot. But hopefully we can dodge the weather a little bit.
Thinking when you were, when you were talking about that, when Alan was talking about that, you were telling me about some of the cooking he's done for you. Man, that sounds pretty good. You know, that's my third favorite thing to do, you know. So,
well, that's really the only reason I'm bringing him, you know. I didn't tell him that, but I really don't plan on letting him fish. I was just planning on, you know, breakfast at the dock, you know, that kind of thing. While we're out wading, he can be, you know, whipping something up on the beach or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I'll tell you what, I hope that thing will get out of here fast enough that we get to go, because I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I hope it don't affect the fishing.
It's been great. I'll tell you, all week long, we've had some really good weather, you know, with the exception of the pop-up thunderstorms. The weather's been great. Monday it blew a little bit, and I'd kind of been out fishing some offshore structure, and so I had to go back in the marsh after like a week and a half or 2 weeks of not being in there. And man, I was really impressed by still the number of fish and the size of the fish that are in the marsh I had to fish in when it was windy earlier in the week. We did that all with top waters and voodoos with popping corks, and then this rest of this week, and then the end of last week, just fishing some deep water structure, you know, 8 to 12 feet of water, you know, the 4Rs I talk about, reefs, rigs, wrecks, and rock piles. See, that's a joke, Alan. That wreck part starts with a W, but I always say 4Rs. Just want to make sure you got it.
You're talking to an editor here, you know.
But anyway, that structure bite's been great, even though we haven't had a whole lot of tidal movement towards the end of the week. You know, getting on some of those places there in that clear water structure. We're using the slip corks and grubs, and then even in some of the medium depth structures, the 8 to 10 foot structures, especially when you get them going, even catching them even on popping corks, you know, up in that depth of water. And that's a lot easier because they're just a lot less cumbersome than that stupid slip cork. I have a love-hate relationship with that thing, but it really works well, you know.
Bobby, with those slip corks, if you're using shrimp or fin fish, you know, little croaker, something like that, do you change your hookup depending on what kind of bait you're using? And how do you hook your little fin fish? Do you hook them in the back and let them kind of swim away, or you hook them through the top lip? How do you do that?
That's a great question, and actually I do. When I hook them, when I'm tight lining them, in other words, when I don't have a cork on, I hook them through the top lip and top lip only. Some people will say hook them through both lips. Don't do that. You got to just go catch that top lip and throw them out and let the croaker do his thing, and they live real well as long as you don't staple their mouth shut with mm-hmm. the hook. But then when I go to a cork, and that's a great question, whenever I have a fin fish like a croaker, for example, underneath a cork, I hook them just in front of the dorsal fin. So the croaker, what he's doing, you're suspending him a foot or 2 feet up off the bottom, and he keeps trying desperately to get to the bottom. And I think that's what really drives. So croakers are really comfortable on that's their world is on the bottom, so they're going to keep trying to get down there. And man, that drives those trout crazy. And they live real well as long as you'll drift let the cork drift with the tide. In other words, don't lock it in gear, because then you'll drown. The croaker just turns up sideways and mm-hmm. you end up drowning them. You know, so you really got to, if you're going to hook them like that, you got to really make sure that that cork's free to drift with the tide.
And you use a kale hook?
I don't. I use, anytime I have my hand on the rod, which is when I'm cork fishing, I use a treble hook, a mm-hmm. number 8 or a number 10, depending on the size of the bait. And if my hand's not on the rod, I use a number 4 kale hook. That's the suicide, kind of a circle hook-looking thing, but a kale hook if I'm just tight lining, because I didn't stick that rod in the rod holder. But as long as I have my hands on the rod and I can get the hook set, I don't have any, very rarely have any problems gut hooking fish with a treble hook.
I gotcha. Have you seen any more triple tail on your?
I have, man. I'm proud to say, and I didn't even worry you with the text.
I appreciate
that. I've seen at least one on every trip, and I'm not a real hardcore chasing, you know, I just run. I'm real opportunistic with my black fishing, and you know, I've seen them under crab traps. I saw one under like a piece of a lawn chair the other day, and so yeah, they're starting to show up. I haven't seen any real big ones yet, but I don't care. I just enjoy, you know, seeing them and catching, or watching people trying to catch them. That's kind of fun too.
Right? Have you tried throwing a voodoo at them?
What's that?
Have you tried throwing a you know, when you see these fish? You know, a lot of times when we're fishing later in the year, we're fishing slip corks up against pylons and buoys and that kind of thing. But this time of year, they seem to be more keyed up on crab trap pots and just floating, you know, flotsam that you find and tide lines and whatnot. Have you thrown a voodoo shrimp at any of these triple tail and had any success with it?
I have. I have not yet this year, but I've done it in the past. And they hit them. They don't turn. I mean, you know well enough to know those fish rarely turn their nose. If they've been caught, they'll get a little picky, you know, if you get one that's been caught. But if you get one that hadn't been caught or hadn't been fished or spooked by a crabber or something, they'll hit just about anything. And so I happened to have Voodoos tied on one time. We didn't have any bait on the boat, and we caught one. And I'll tell you another thing they really like is, and I keep these on the boat in case we're running along with no bait on, is the little gulp crabs, the little 2-inch gulp peeler crabs. Man, you put one of those on a bear hook and they'll chow on those things.
Wow,
too.
Okay.
So you don't get caught. That way you don't get caught. I've had that happen before where we've used every single bait on the boat and run up on a nice blackfish and have nothing to throw at them, you know. So, but those two things do work. They'll bite those. Tell you what else, too, I was going to tell you, we caught yesterday, we lucked in too on a real good trout bite, and we caught three real nice pompano yesterday, too. So that was a lot of fun, you know, catching those things. Man, they're a blast. I wish I was good enough to at catching those to figure out how to do it reliably. Man, those are fun fish to catch.
We need to do a video. You and David need to trade trips, and you know, y'all can.
Hey, I do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, no doubt.
Joe can catch pompano.
You can get them on that beach now.
Yeah. Joe does real good down in Florida on pompano too.
He's gonna have to see. That's what he's gonna have to do is take me when we go wade fishing. We're gonna go, okay, I want to see some pompano tricks now. Mm-hmm. I need to know how to catch these pumps.
There you go.
You won't like it. It's too stationary for you.
Oh no, you got a point there, Bobby. You know me, buddy. I ain't staying put very long.
Well, thank you, Bobby. Appreciate it. Be careful this weekend, buddy.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right, let's go to Joe Dunn and talk to him about Miller's Ferry. What's going on, Joe?
Doing great, Alan. Yep. The river's starting to slow down now, so it's going to soon be time to, you know, stick to your creek channels, trolling, vertical jigging in the standing timber along the edges of the channel, and sooner or later the bottom bouncing bites fix to take on, you know, out in the river. That water temperature's coming on up, and they're starting to cut the powerhouse on and off. So, you know, in the morning, if they don't have any water running, it's going to be best to troll. And then once they go to running waters, it'd be best to get to that wood then where the fish are going to be holding tight, trying to ambush the fish, you know, either on the points or the ledges and in the treetops. But, it's getting hot. It's getting hot fast. And the long line on the catfish is fixed to take off. I'm gonna try some of that this weekend and see if that's going to be they're going to be hitting those jugs, too.
How deep, how long are those lines that you use? Let's remind us.
I have two setups. I have one that's set up at around 15 feet, and the other one set up at around 30 feet.
Good Lord. That's deep.
Yep.
And still using cut shad?
Cut shad is, you know, it's number one at Miller's Ferry.
Yeah.
Either that or skipjack.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that long lining is something, I don't know, it's not that familiar to people. We always use lines on our jugs about 2 foot long or a 1 foot jug or whatever, but the long lining this time of year is the ticket at Miller's Ferry.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it depends on the depth of you. See, we got where I'm fishing up in the main part of the lake, we got 50 and 60 foot of water, mm-hmm. you know, through the main river channel. So if you got a channel of, say, 25 foot, you may want to run some mostly just, say, 15 foot jugs and probably have about the same effect as what I'm having.
Now, I don't know that much about it, but I imagine with that much line under a noodle, the wind doesn't really push it that hard, does it?
No. And actually, I'll put them out the way I like to do it, is just put them out in that the afternoon. Usually they're still running water till about, you know, 8 o'clock sometimes, and I'll put them out right at dark, and then I will get up the next morning and go run them.
How much weight do you use on a long line?
Most time, you know, I put like an ounce and a half egg sinker on them.
Yeah, that's good.
And, but usually on the longer lines, I'll have two hooks, you know.
Yeah.
I'll have one right on the bottom, then I'll come back up about 5 or 6 feet, tie out, put one more hook on.
Oh, I see. All right, Joe, you have a great weekend, buddy. Thanks for the report.
All right, y'all too.
All right, let's move on up to Lake Martin and check in with my good buddy, Captain Michael Walker. Michael, how you doing, bud?
Doing good. How are you?
We're doing great. Now, you're fishing stripers this week, so in all year, actually, up there. What is the pattern right now, and how are you fishing for them?
We've still got a mixed pattern. We're doing, it's really open to anything. You could pull planer boards with live bait right now. You could downline live bait, or you could throw artificials over the shallow or deep water. We have fish ranging from in 20 feet of water all the way to over 100 feet of water right now.
Wow. Now, if somebody just wants, a weekend angler wants to go up there with their boat and get in 20 feet of water, what would you recommend?
If he was just going to pull in the shallows, I'd recommend putting out a couple free lines with live baits and a couple balloons so you can spread out some more baits, and then just work your areas around your contour lines and points off the main lake points and channels.
What's your favorite kind of bait?
Right now, they're actually hitting brim real good. So shad or brim, and if brim are really accessible right now. You get a tube of crickets, you can fill your cooler up and catch just as many fish.
Okay, well, let's talk about the crappie fishing a little while. What is the crappie doing?
They're on structure anywhere around. They're in the 14 to 16 foot water right now on structure. Bite's really been around 8 to 10 feet, 12 feet at times on the sunny days with no wind.
Okay. The water's always pretty clear in Lake Martin, so fishing deep is usually the rule for crappie, right?
Yeah, and I mean, they're generally, we've had some real warm weather, and if we continue, they'll just continue to ease on out from that 14, 15 to 20 to 30, and then at the peak of summer, they'll be up to 40 feet, 50 foot, holding that structure.
So for out-of-towners coming to book a trip with you guys, either crappie or stripers or whatever, do you recommend a place to stay?
Yeah, on the lake, there's not a lot of one-night rentals. There's plenty of two-night rentals. One of the few one-night rentals is Creekside Lodge. It's in Dadeville, Alabama. Really nice place by the water.
Good deal. All right, give us your phone number in case someone wants to book a trip and go to Lake Martin.
Yeah, it's 205-362-8322.
All right, Michael, thanks so much. You have a great weekend.
All right, have a good one.